Ngambi Hinui, and a very good morning to you, Auckland. It's 5 minutes past nine, and you're listening to 104.6 Planet FM and Keep Auckland Beautiful. I've got an encore presentation interview for you today, but before we go there, just want to mention that, you know, as things wrap up for the summer season, there's not a lot happening at, you know, in terms of eco events. However, that being said, Eco Matters has a number of edible gardening sessions and native nursery potting sessions all this week. This is during the daytime. I think that a lot of them are free or koha. Have a look at their page, ecomatters.org.nz. And also, just one of my favorites over the summer is Auckland Live's Summer in the Square. So that's Aotea Square. There's all sorts of events happening during the day, and they've basically turned the place into a big lounge. And it's definitely worth checking out the Heart of the City website to find out what's going on there. So my encore interview for today is with John Thornhill. John is with eCycle up in Silverdale. Such a pleasure to have you. So you are the director of eCycle, correct?
That's correct.
Now, a lot of people are a bit mystified about recycling electronics. So what exactly is eCycle? I mean, it's a business, right?
Yeah, that's right. It's a business. We have our head office in Auckland, up in Silverdale, and we've got six staff up here processing e-waste, collecting e-waste. And we also have a consolidation warehouse down in Wellington, so we service the bottom half of the North Island out of Wellington. And we have a warehouse and some staff based in Christchurch to service the South Island. So it's a national operation focusing on recycling e-waste.
Right, but the heart of that is in Silverdale in terms of that's where you actually do the recycling, right?
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, essentially we receive, you know, the bulk of the product from around the country up here. We operate with a number of different customers from end users through to some large manufacturers. And product comes in here, it's essentially received. It's then issued out for dismantling, and we dismantle probably about 95% of the products we receive. Some of them we don't have the technology or the capability, especially when you're starting to deal with things like mercury tubes and things like that.
That's right.
The bulk of it is essentially dismantled by hand and then put into downstream recycling streams with some local and some international recyclers.
eCycle is, for most Aucklanders, the successor to the RCN network, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, a number of the staff, including me, were employed at RCN. RCN, unfortunately, is no longer. It closed down last year.
That's right.
And eCycle is a continuation, essentially, under different ownership and different management, but having employed some of the old staff and having recontracted with some of the customers.
Right, and that's really why I mentioned it, because a lot of those customers, those collection points, still have RCN signs up.
Yeah.
But they're still collecting, and it is still getting properly disposed of, just not by RCN. It's eCycle.
That's quite right. And to add to that, a number of those sites are also subsidized by their councils around the country.
Okay, so councils are involved in this diversion program, basically.
Absolutely. I mean, obviously, there are a large number of councils, or TAs, as we call them, around New Zealand. And some of them, you know, just provide support by advertising the service. Some of them actually subsidize the recycling costs because, unfortunately, we charge for most items that are received for recycling. And others will even go as far as actually operating the drop-off sites themselves. So it will be their facilities, their staff. You know, they'll promote the service and make sure that it, you know, it all goes according to plan.
Okay, and for translation purposes, TAs, territorial authorities, or in common parlance, local government.
That's correct.
Right. So this is not a central government beast. This is being driven by local government.
That's right. And I mean, they all basically make their own decisions. Essentially, they do meet with each other around the country, and we've just found that you know, a number of them are very passionate about protecting the environment, about doing what we call the right thing as far as e-waste is concerned, and, you know, have had long-standing relationships with a number of them.
Right, and a number of them are, or the number of them participating is going up. In other words, more and more are participating and, as you say, doing the right thing. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct. We are adding more and more councils as time goes on. In different, as I said earlier, in different forms. You know, some of them will just advertise the service to their ratepayers. Others will actually get behind and promote it or subsidise it. And in some cases, you know, it's even their own facilities or their own contractors, you know, who are running it under their auspices.
How many collection points do you have within, well, I was going to say Greater Auckland, but in the Super City?
Not enough, Rick.
Well, never enough. But where are they? If our listeners want to, sadly,
we actually at the moment in Auckland only have the two. We have a long-standing relationship with Eco Matters at One Olympic Place in Newlyn.
Right.
They tend to cover a reasonable portion of the city as well as obviously the west.
Right, and they've been there a long time, so people know of them, yeah.
Yeah, they've been there a long time. They're doing a fantastic job. They also provide a little bit of dismantling work on some of the items to a company literally across the road who does some work for them.
Okay.
And they're well-established. They also tend to service some of the smaller businesses in the area, but traditionally their sort of market would be end users or consumers. And some sort of small office, home office type customers.
Right. So they're actually almost refurbishing as opposed to recycling.
No. I mean they are recycling. What they tend to do is resell some items. But essentially they're really a collection site, and then they outsource a little bit of their dismantling. So we also have a program which we run with community groups whereby things like the old traditional computer desktop, as we call them, or the boxes some people call them, those are quite easy to dismantle. And if you're getting them in large volumes, it actually creates some job opportunities. It's a very sort of safe product to handle. There's nothing hazardous in there. And they just break the box down into sort of 8 or 9 key categories, components, as we call them.
And they are readily disassemblable with a screwdriver.
That's quite right. Just yeah. Very basic hand tools, pair of gloves, some safety glasses, a workbench, and it's pretty simple.
Can you name some of these community groups? I mean, who would I take to take?
Eco Matters is the one that works with a group called Rep and Pack, who are literally across the road from them. But eCycle has a relationship with an umbrella group called the Community Recycling Network of New Zealand. And Eco Matters is a member, but there are a number of others around the country, places like Kaitaia, Whangarei, Wanaka down in the South Island.
Right, so no more in Auckland. That's in Auckland.
The only other drop-off site we have in Auckland is actually our own recycling facility, which is up in Silverdale. So we do handle drop-offs here.
Right. Now, you're in Titan Place, but what hours do you handle drop-offs?
We're open office hours, traditionally from 8 till 5. What we do ask, though, is because it's quite an industrial site and we want to be aware of, you know, health and safety issues,
sure.
What we do normally do is communicate with customers via phone or our website or email and just ask that they notify us when they're coming to drop-off. And as you know, that's preset, and then they'll come and drop off. There's also a lot of demand for collections. So TVs, for example, which we recycle. We get a lot of phone calls from folks asking for collections. And what we'll try and do is coordinate collections sort of 1 or 2 days a week and try and cover, one geographical area, say in the morning or afternoon.
Right.
Do a milk run sort of pickup.
Well, that helps keeps cost down because TVs are one of the dearer things because they require some pre-processing, don't they?
Yeah, they're probably the worst product as far as recycling is concerned
right.
For us. They are big and heavy, so they take up space, whether you are collecting them, transporting them, or storing them. And then once they go into the dismantling process, it usually takes us in the region of about 20 minutes to dismantle one average-sized TV, which weighs about 24, 25 kgs.
Right, and we're talking about the old CRT style, the big boxes.
That's right, the cathode ray tube. And then that's closely followed by the old monitors, which is exactly the same technology, just in a smaller format.
Just smaller, okay. And you have to separate the front glass from the back glass and the phosphorus from the front glass and the electronics and et cetera.
Yeah, that's quite right. I mean, we have a technology. It's just a machine called a splitter, and essentially, once we've got the plastic, the outer casing off, as well as some of the other inner components, for example, the circuit board, some of the cabling, we get down to the actual what we call the glass tube, and that's placed on a machine, and we essentially just wrap a wire around it, run some electricity through the wire, which heats it up.
And melts right through the lead glass.
Yeah, it very gently just pops it, really. It's a popping sound, and essentially you can then separate the front glass from the back glass. And the front glass is sort of two-thirds of the weight of the actual tube, and it's clean, pure glass, just very thick.
And heavy, yeah.
And heavy. And the back glass is, or the sort of cone-shaped glass, as we call it, that is a lot lighter, but it contains about 25% lead.
Which is an issue itself, yeah.
Yeah, that's an issue. So that has to be exported overseas and the lead extracted. So it's quite a complicated, lengthy process to recycle those units.
Well, while I've got you on the line, I actually do have an old CRT television, which I'm no longer watching. And I was out of the country when that whole take-back program was going.
Yeah.
What would it cost for me to arrange a pickup as just an ordinary?
Yeah, it's quite a broad question there, Rick. You would find a group like Eco Matters, because they don't have any subsidies from council. They would charge you in the region of about $40,
yep,
including GST, to recycle their TV. That would be based on you actually dropping it off with them. I can't confirm their collection fee, because I guess it would depend on where you're physically based, but you'd probably be looking at average in the region of about $15 to $20 for a collection. So it is quite an expensive exercise. If you dropped off at with us in Silverdale, it would be a little bit cheaper, simply because we don't have the extra freight cost to cover.
That's right.
From West Auckland up here, so you'd be looking more in the region of $30 to recycle and a similar sort of collection fee.
Okay, and that leads me to the inverse of that question, and that is, where's the value in the electronics? Obviously, diverting stuff from landfill is sufficient justification in its own right, but there is money to be made because there's resources here, aren't there?
Yeah, that's quite right, Rick. I mean, it's, you know, while I mentioned TVs are usually the worst sort of item to recycle, the best items to recycle as far as generating some sort of financial return on are the likes of servers or desktop computers, where you are looking for the likes of circuit boards, memory, what we call add-on cards, which are the likes of sound and graphics type cards, cabling, you know, inside the machine, as well as obviously the power leads. You know, there's a bit of value in those.
What's in the circuit boards? I mean, we always just hear that, oh, they're made of silicon chips, but what else is in there? Because
yeah, well, on the actual motherboard out of a desktop computer, I mean, the types of precious metals you sort of would extract from those are the likes of gold, silver, palladium, and copper, really. You'd get reasonable value out of the little CPU units, out of the memory, out of the add-on cards. I mean, gold is quite common, silver is quite common. Unfortunately, the extraction doesn't actually happen onshore in New Zealand. Those circuit boards are stored and consolidated and then exported over to Japan, in our case, for processing. And we get paid back by the smelter in Japan on a sort of a KG rate for those boards and other higher value components.
I mean, it's not 100% diversion, but that means there's a significant amount being diverted from landfill, because the big factory in Japan will even recycle the stuff that doesn't have much value.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you know, all the export markets that New Zealand can export to under the Basel Convention, which prevents the illegal shipment, I suppose, of hazardous waste. All the plants that New Zealand companies ship to will be handling the products in environmentally friendly ways, and ensuring that components are diverted from landfill.
Okay. Now, are there any significant commercial clients? Well, I suppose if you're a nationwide collector.
Yes, there are. There are a number of photocopier and printer companies that are quite active in New Zealand in recycling.
And I guess that's similar to a PC, a household PC, in that there's a lot of cabinet, a lot of circuit board. So there's going to be a lot of metals in there.
Yeah, a lot of metal, a lot of plastic, some circuit boards, you know, the likes of cabling, some motors, transformers. And they seem to sort of be leading the way, in my experience in New Zealand, around actually taking, you know, responsibility themselves for ensuring that their products don't end up in landfill. And there'll be one or two or three recyclers working with, probably five, six, seven of those brands. I mean, my company works with three of them. And, they've been doing the right thing for the environment, for four, five, 6 years now, and taking responsibility, ensuring that those products are paid for to be recycled in an environmentally friendly way.
Okay, and what about me as an ordinary householder with those cheap and ubiquitous $100 printers that they keep selling us that are designed to only last for 2 years? Are they recyclable? Or are they valuable?
They're not valuable. They are recyclable.
Okay.
They primarily contain plastic, some fresh air, some metal,
right.
Some small motors, and certainly a circuit board. So yeah, absolutely. Obviously, there may be ink in them too, and toner coming out of some of the bigger printers, and obviously the photocopiers. But all of the material in those is actually recyclable.
Good idea not to put them out for the rubbish pickup, but to recycle them is what you're
absolutely
saying.
Absolutely, Rick. Okay. I mean, everything can be recycled. I mean, when I say everything, I mean in our case. We recycle about 95% plus of the actual materials and products that we receive. There's very little that we actually can't recycle.
That's an incredible diversion rate.
Yeah, it is. And the unfortunate thing is, I don't think your average man on the street actually realizes that he or she has those options. And I think there's a general lack of awareness around the opportunity or just the access to a number of different recyclers in New Zealand that can actually take your product and treat it in an environmentally friendly way.
Does that come down to some form, whatever form, of product stewardship that would ultimately steer these things back into, because I don't even want to call it a waste stream, it's a resource stream.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think one of the challenges is that there's obviously no law in New Zealand around product stewardship, so consumers are not generally aware of what their options are. So if you're buying a new TV or buying a new computer, it's not going to be obvious to you what your options are around recycling your old one. And that is, that is the biggest challenge that I think everyone faces, is that they're not quite sure what to do with the likes of the old computer, old printer, old TV. And I guess it's a search on the on the web to try and find a recycler, and once you've found one, are you comfortable that they're actually handling the product in an environmentally friendly way? And what are the cost implications? And you'll find that, people do normally ask questions around the price to recycle, CRT televisions. But, the likes of computers and laptops, a lot of reputable recyclers, including, us, will take those, at no charge or for a few dollars. So it is a bit of swings and roundabouts, and that, with a mix of product that's received, some of it, comes in at a very low charge to consumers, and some is a little bit more.
Right, and in the end, of course, you've got to make a profit. You're not a charity.
Yeah,
and but you'll base the charges, as you say, to cover those swings and roundabouts.
Yeah, we do. I mean, I think the other thing that's not obvious to customers is that, you know, the e-waste industry is very very logistically orientated. You know, you're moving big products which are low value, so you don't generate a lot of return out of the actual products once you've dismantled them, but you still got to incur the cost of collecting them, transporting them, storing them, you know, dismantling them, and then even, you know, some of the components have to be stored until you've got a reasonable quantity before you can pass them on to a downstream recycler.
You've got to fill a container first, don't you?
In a lot of cases, yes. I mean, if you're working with a local recycler, you know, you may be able to send smaller quantities, but, you know, it still makes sense to try and get economies of scale when you're moving, you know, for example, glass for recycling or plastic for recycling, you know, those sorts of things. You want to make sure that you've built up a reasonable volume to try and get the sort of best rate.
Now, you said your circuit boards are going to Japan, which makes sense to me, but you've just intimated that some things are recycled locally now. I understand glass in Otahu, I presume.
Yeah, there's an opportunity to recycle glass again in New Zealand. I mean, it's a very it's quite new. Again, we had worked with other recyclers 2 to 3 years ago, and unfortunately that came to an end. There's now an opportunity which is starting up again in New Zealand, which is fantastic. Just a glass recycling solution. There are a number of studies and startup options starting to emerge around plastic. Unfortunately, we were prevented from exporting plastic probably about 2 years ago due to the brominated flame retardant chemicals in the plastic. But there are scenarios starting to develop again around downstream, reputable downstream recyclers of plastic. Certainly the likes of cabling and wiring, there's a solution in New Zealand for that. Scrap metal, obviously, whether that goes through shredders in New Zealand or is baled and exported overseas, you know, there are local options. I think the real issue or the concern or the challenge, I suppose, for New Zealand is that we just don't have, you know, the volumes or the economies of scale to warrant, you know, large recycling plants with high-tech technology and sophistication, I suppose, just because the volumes, you know, don't exist here.
So ultimately we'll just be a sophisticated transfer station for a lot of it.
Yeah, I mean, I like to describe us more as dismantlers and I suppose semi-processors. You know, there are some recyclers who will, for example, shred, you know, the likes of circuit boards, or they'll be shredding plastic, for example, or they'll be semi-processing, you know, toner cartridges with the toner powder. So I think we go slightly further than just actually, you know, dismantling, but not as far down the process, excuse me, as you know, plants that you might find in places like Singapore, for example, or Japan, which are really sophisticated.
Sure, they're also producing massive amounts. Are you seeing a huge increase in cell phones, basically in that technology?
We ourselves are not tracked simply because there's some quite successful mobile phone, excuse me, collection and recycling programs running in New Zealand, and good on them for achieving that. Starship is obviously the one well-known one, which is for a really good cause.
And a lot of them are being recycled, as in refurbished, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of them have been, I think, repaired or refurbished for resale, and then the rest are recycled. Interestingly enough, you know, the circuit board that comes out of a cell phone is one of the highest value circuit boards that you can get.
Well, that's got all the other things a computer does, plus the rare earth elements, right?
Yeah, that's quite right. That's quite right. So, yeah, there are success stories out there that are working. We are also seeing a general increase in volume. I think the big question is, you know, when will the CRT TVs and monitors start slowing down? You know, we are still receiving a lot as eCycle. Some of the other recyclers around the country may not be receiving the volumes that we are. But, you know, then the flat panel devices are starting to come back for recycling too. So, you know, the likes of your LCD screens coming out of office environments or flat screen, you know, LCD TVs or plasma TVs, you know, those are starting to come through now too.
Well, I suspect that a lot of people figured out that when we switched to digital television, you could actually, if you got a Freeview box, you could actually keep your television. You didn't need to switch TVs.
That doesn't
mean it wasn't cool to switch your TV to the latest flat screen.
Yeah, whether that was promoted well enough, I'm not sure, Rick, but I'm not sure that everyone was aware of the options around that. It may just have been a good opportunity to rush out and buy the biggest flat-screen TV you could find.
Well, a good justification for me to go spend my money, yeah.
Yeah,
and it's all right. But I also suspect that there's a lot of people with CRTs still going and likely to continue going for quite some time because they're pretty robust.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the technology is good, and you probably find there are a lot in second lounge rooms or in batches that are still operating, or maybe just being stored away in a garage or a shed, awaiting, I'm not sure what, just recycling.
Yeah, awaiting recycling. Now, my brother's just retired a 17-year-old Trinitron that's in perfect working order, and so he gave it to a mate.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who was just, moving away from, just grown up and moving out of the family home and needed a television. Here you go.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, so it's probably another 10 years life in it, in a student flat.
Yeah, absolutely, another life.
Yeah. So do you have plans in the long term to branch out into other items for recycling, or are you going to stay focused on the electronics?
Rick, I think we'll stick to the electronics. We tend to cater for households, so anything really electronic that comes out of the household. We do stretch as far as kitchen appliances, consumer electronics, TVs, computers.
Okay.
And then anything that comes out of an office environment too. Some of the interesting trends that we're starting to talk about and try and find a bit more out about are the likes of, solar panels. So that's an area. Another thing I'd like to mention is we do try and reuse or resell working equipment that we receive. So the likes of photocopiers, computers, laptops, screens, there is a reuse market locally and internationally.
How do people find out what you have on offer?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, it's quite a hard thing to create awareness for. We tend, again, to work, it's reciprocal business, we tend to work with some of our collection sites.
Right.
And, again, a number of those community groups who servicing their community. So what we'll do is when we get a large load of working IT equipment in from corporate customers, we'll data wipe the machines, if it's a laptop or a server or a computer. So we restore it back to its original settings, and then we'll make it available to our distribution channel, and out it will go, and they will then probably sell it into their local community for 20% or 25%, the price of a new machine.
Right. I should be knocking on your door. Now your website is ecycle.co.nz, but it's e-cycle, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. It's e-cycle.co.nz.
Right, and that's where people would find out if they wanted to drop something off to you, because they should get in touch first, right?
Yeah, that'd be helpful, Rick, just so that we can, we can schedule a drop-off and also make, customers aware of the costs involved. There's nothing worse than arriving and expecting to drop things off for free, only to be told that there's a charge. But
right.
Again, we'll make it as affordable as we can. It will just depend on the type of product and the quantity that they have.
Well, I'm sorry to say we're running out of time. They're about to move me off the air. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story, and really just want to say keep up the good work.
Thank you, Rick. Well, thanks for giving us the opportunity of talking to you and to your listeners. And, we'd really like the support from those people that are trying to do the right thing for the environment.